It is a great privilege to be in God's house again this morning, and I'd like for you to continue to pray for me that God's will will be done. You know, I always try to pray and I always seek God's will before I ever stand and I preach a message that God has laid upon our heart. You know, we're living in a day and time that we truly need to be praying for our nation. You know, the other day I was watching the news program, and it was talking about schools and how that they're wanting to tell the teachers that they can no longer call the students boys and girls simply because of the way that our government and things has gone in the United States of America. But brethren, today God created male and female, and that's the way the Bible stands. You can call me old-fashioned if you want to, and you can say, preacher, you'll get in trouble for saying things like that. That's all right, because I stand upon the authority of God's word. And I believe that today that we as a nation need to humble ourselves, and we need to pray for the leaders of the United States of America that they'll get their hearts right with God. Because when we do these kind of things in the United States of America, it is wrong. And you can whip me later if you want to, that's all right, but it's the word of God. But here this morning, we're going to be bringing a message over in Matthew chapter 22. And as we look in verse 41, as God being our helper, we want to look at a thought. What think ye of Christ? And you know, even him himself, Jesus, asked the question right here in verse 41. It said, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They said unto him, the son of David. And then notice what he goes on down and says in verse 43. He said unto them, how doth David, the Spirit, call him Lord? Saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? We know that Christ came through the lineage of David. And so therefore these Pharisees, these very religious people, said that he was the son of David. But Christ said to himself, he said, here, if David himself calls him Lord, and he says that here, that he sits at the right hand of the Father, he says, who is he that is able to sit at the right hand of the Father? See, these Pharisees here, these religious people, they knew that only the Lord himself, the Messiah, had the right, according to the scriptures, to sit at the right hand of the throne of God. So therefore it says that he had them, and they dared not to answer anymore. But we find here that a very important question was asked. What think ye of Christ? Now here this morning, we're going to have a courtroom scene this morning. And we're going to be asking some people that we've called to the witness stand. And we're going to ask them, what think ye of Christ here this morning? And we're going to look to their testimony according to the scripture and the word of God. But the first one that we want to look at here is Pilate. And we want to look at Pilate. We call him to the witness stand. And as Pilate begins to come to the witness stand, and he is about to be sworn in, we know that he has said that he'll tell the truth and nothing but the truth. And so the first question that I would like to ask Pilate this morning is, what think ye of Christ? And so we ask Pilate here, what think ye of Christ? Now we find that he will stand up boldly and he'll proclaim his message. But let's look into the word of God, that we'll not get anything wrong with his scripture and his testimony here in this court scene here this morning. But as we continue to look, let's look over in Luke chapter 23, and let's look in verse 4 this morning, and let's look at what he would say to the courtroom scene here this morning. As we look here in chapter 23, and as we look in verse 4, this is what Pilate would stand up and he would say. He said, then said Pilate to the chief priests and the people, I find no fault in this man. That was his testimony as he stood up. And you're the juror this morning. And I'm going to ask you at the closing of this scene, what think you of Christ? And you will either find him guilty or you'll find him innocent in your life. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never been saved and you never accepted him as your personal Savior. Before you walk out these doors, I hope and pray that you will accept him and that you know he is truly the darling Son of God. But we find that Pilate had Jesus brought before him. These Jews and these very religious people, they brought Jesus to the courtroom scene and they said, here, Pilate, I want you to charge him of death. I want you to nail him to the old rugged cross. But we want to look just a little bit at Pilate's life as he was on jury, as he was called to the witness stand here this morning. We find that Pilate, we find that he reigned over Judea as a governor from AD 26 to 36, and he was the governor of this land. And many times Pilate, he had come in the first time that he took office. He had always caused trouble. The Jews hated Pilate, but yet they brought Jesus to him, and they said, "We want you to crucify him." But here was Pilate, the first time that he took office. He come parading into town with his soldiers, and his soldiers was holding their banners up high, and he had a golden eagle, not a golden eagle, but a metal eagle put up on the top of their banners and had an emblem of Caesar, and he paraded down through town. Well, the Jews, they began to protest, and they got all upset because this was an idol that they said, and said, "We want you to take these off." But he was very stubborn. He caused a riot, and he told many of them, he said, "I'll behead you, I'll put you to death." But yet the Jews said, "Go ahead, you put us to death," because they knew that he would not do what he said he would do. So you see, he was in fear of his job. And then another time, he took money out of the temple, and he began to build a waterway because he wanted the water to run through the right way. And so this again caused trouble among the Jews, and they hated him. And so you see, he had to make a decision. He says, "Do I cause another uprising, and will I lose my job if I don't do what the Jews tell me to do?" And so, you know, he says, "But I find no fault in this man." He said, "That is my testimony here this morning, that I find no fault." See, Jesus didn't have to die on the old rugged cross, but he died because I was a sinner. He died because he loved me. He died because he loved you. And so we find that yet Pilate tried all the best way that he could. He was warned by his wife not to have nothing to do with this righteous man. He said, "I don't want you to have nothing to do with this man called Jesus." But Pilate was afraid for his job. And you see, he said, "Well, I'll tell you what I'll do." He said, "I got a man called Barabbas. He's a criminal. You had him locked up because you was afraid, and you didn't want him loose on the streets. You didn't want him doing anything." And so we find that he said, "I'll release on this day either him or Jesus. Which one will you have me to release?" And they said, "Release Barabbas and crucify the man called Jesus." And so we find that here, that we find that yet he said, "I will go ahead and I'll scourge him. But before I do this," he said, "I'm going to do this." He said, "I'm going to wash my hands." He said, "I'm innocent of this shed blood." And so this was another custom of the Jews. Many times maybe someone was murdered or whatever, and they couldn't find the killer, the Jews would cleanse themselves and said, "We're cleansed of this blood. We're going to let it go." So he says, "I cleanse myself." But yet he was afraid that he would lose his job. And then later on, after he had Christ crucified on that old rugged cross, and after he condemned him to death, we find that yet he lost his job. He was moved somewhere else. And then later on, history says that he committed suicide because he couldn't live with the fact that he put an innocent man to death. But you see, I was just as guilty as Pilate. I was just as guilty because my sins was what nailed him to that old rugged cross. My sins was the one that put him there. He died for me. But now we want to look at another man. We want to call Judas Iscariot to the stand, and we'll go ahead and dismiss Pilate. But as we begin to look at Judas, and we find that he's been sworn in, we know that he's going to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. And what was his statement? And I ask him, "What think you of Christ, Judas Iscariot, here this morning?" And we find that the scripture once again will tell us what he thinks of Christ. Let's look over in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 4, and you continue to pray as we look into the scriptures here this morning. Matthew chapter 27, and then let's go ahead and look at verse 4. As we find here, it says, this is his testimony of what he said here. He said, saying, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood and have said, what is that to us? See thou that." We find that he had betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ for what? 30 pieces of silver. But his testimony here this morning is that I have betrayed innocent blood. That was what he thought of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was one of the chosen 12 Why did he begin to follow the Lord? Why, I cannot really tell you the answer to that. But maybe he thought that Christ would lead a rebellion and set the Jews free from the Romans because they hated Rome. They didn't want to be under their jurisdiction. I don't really know why, but we know that he was the one that kept their money. So he loved money. And so he went and he told them, he said, for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave, he said, I'll deceive him and I'll betray the one called Christ. And said, there in the garden, the man that I kiss will be the one that you need to lead away. So Judas Iscariot, he took the soldiers. They were well armed, maybe thinking they was going to have a fight. My brother, the Lord was not going to put up a fight because he said, I willingly lay down my life for my friends. He said, I'll willingly die for everybody under this congregation here this morning. And I want you to pay close attention here this morning to this courtroom scene, because in the end, you'll be the one that'll decide whether or not if he's guilty or if he's innocent. And so as we find here that Pilate, Judas went on and he kissed the Lord and then he betrayed him. But then as we read here, he began to feel guilty about what he had done. And he says here, he says, I'll take this money. And he throwed it down. And he says, I've betrayed innocent blood. And he began to go out. And he said, what happened? What does the Bible say about Judas Iscariot? It said that he went out and he hung himself and he died that day. And so we find that just a little bit about Judas Iscariot, something that maybe you can study on just a little bit more. You know, I'm not saying that this is, but this is what the scripture says. You know, first of all, the Bible says that he was the son of perdition. Over in 2 Thessalonians, the Bible mentions the son of perdition once again, speaking about the Antichrist that is to come. So two times, son of perdition. One, Judas was called the son of perdition, and then the Antichrist is called the son of perdition. Over in Acts, it says that here, that when he died, that he went to his own place. And so we find that here that Jesus himself said that he was the devil from the beginning. So just a little bit tidbit about Judas Iscariot. But we find that we dismiss him, and we find that here Judas betrayed innocent blood. And so we find that was his statement here this morning, how that he had betrayed innocent blood. You know, I too, as I said, I'm guilty of all of this. What do I think about Christ? I know that he's the darling son of God. A long time ago, I was lost and undone. I was headed to a place called hell. And let me tell you here this morning, that hell is just as real as heaven is. And if you've never been born again, the Bible says that you're going to die and you're going to go to a place such called hell. And no, I'm not trying to scare people to death this morning. But brethren, if it takes scaring you to death, that's all right. And brethren, I want to see people born again into the family of God. I don't want to see people dying and going to a place called hell. Brethren, I had to accept him. And if you want to go to heaven here this morning, you must be born again. That's what he said to Nicodemus. And so then we find that we call the centurion that was there. We want to call him to the witness stand. And so we find that this was a soldier. He was well guarded. He had his weapons. He was over some other soldiers. And so we called the centurion to the witness stand. And now as he comes and he sits down, I would like to ask you this morning, what do you think of Christ? And what do you think about him? And what would be the centurion, this soldier that was very cruel, that when Jesus was there, it said that he was scourged. And I tell you, it was a very awful punishment to be scourged. And I showed you and told you a time before how that they would scourge him. And they had him tied out, and there'd be a soldier on each side of him taking a whip, and they would beat him with bits of lead and bones sharpened to the edge, and his skin just literally ripped open. This was these soldiers that done that. They were the ones that cast the crown of thorns upon his head as the blood began to ooze down. And I tell you, they mocked him, and they spit on him. They plucked out his beard. But this was the soldier, this centurion soldier, that was called to the witness stand. And let's look here over in Mark chapter 15 in verse 39. And you continue to pray as we go through the scripture here, as we look into Mark chapter 15, verse 39. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was what? The Son of God. This was his testimony. He didn't say, well, maybe this man was the Son of God, but I believe this centurion soldier here this morning, he knew that he had crucified the darling Son of God. He said, truly, this man is the Son of God. I believe that salvation probably came to this man's life because he marked here. And he said, I know that he is the darling Son of God. And so we find this centurion soldier. It said the earth began to quake. And it said that the veil was rent from top to bottom. And it says as it was rent from top to bottom, it said that he spoke and he said, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. And we find that this centurion soldier, seeing all of these things take place, and there he began to realize, and he even heard Christ speak, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so we find that here this centurion soldier said, truly, he was the Son of God. But this veil was rent from top to bottom. What about this veil? It was said that nothing could ever pull this veil apart. But, brethren, I believe that at the death of Christ, what happened? The very finger of God started right at the top of that veil, and he just went down, and it just ripped in two. Why was this a symbol? We find that here. He says, now that you no longer have to go to the high priest, but you can come boldly to the throne of God. The plan of law, it demanded death. You and I should have been put to death. But because he died on that old rugged cross, I don't have to be worried about anything else. I don't have to worry about death anymore because he died for me. And now I can go boldly to the throne of God. And so the law had been done away with. And we can find it here. It was showing that we had a great high priest that we now can come to. But this centurion, it said over in Matthew, and it says in verse 54, that they begin to fear in their heart and their life. So if you're here this morning, you need to have the fear in your heart and your life to know that you will be headed to a place called hell if you don't accept him as your personal Savior. And so we find that today he's for real. This centurion soldier here, he said, truly, this was the Son of God. So I ask you here this morning, do you believe that he is truly the Son of God? I know that he's the Son of God, and I had accepted him. So now as we look at this centurion soldier, a very brave man that maybe had been in many battles, but yet he began to realize that he was truly the Son of God. Now we want to look at John the Baptist, and we call him to the witness stand, and we want to ask him, what do you think of Christ? And let's look and see what John the Baptist, John chapter 1 and verse 29, and we begin to look at him here this morning as we find what would he say here this morning. Over in John chapter 1 and verse 29, this would be his testimony here this morning. Here we find that it says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He saw him coming. This was what John the Baptist had thought of him. He said, he is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. So as I begin to look here this morning, I know that he's the one. And we find that a lamb, he was that sacrificial lamb. We find that he was the lamb that took my place and died on that cross that I could have life and that you can have life and have it more abundantly. That taketh away the sins of the world. The Bible says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We know that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all were sinners. We all have been born into this world of sin because of the fall of Adam and Eve. But I can tell you here this morning that he's the one that can take these sins away and make you whole and pure and clean within. He can take your heart that was black and just filled with sin and make you clean. You know, you say, well, preacher, I've done so many bad things in my lifetime. I've been a bad person. I've done so many things that I just can't be forgiven of them. Let's look back at that centurion soldier once again, the one that was there watching Christ being scourged, the one that was there helping pluck out his beard, the one that was being cruel and crucifying him and putting the nails into his hands and his feet. I tell you, if he can forgive them from their sins, he can also forgive you here this morning if you'll just only accept him as your personal Savior. He will cleanse us and to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we'll just confess him here this morning. He's the one that will forgive us of our sins. He's the only one. You know, there's people that might come and make confessions to me and say, well, preacher, I've done this and I've done that. All I can do is pray for you here this morning. That's all that I can do. But the one that you can go to is that you just go to the Lord Jesus Christ and you kneel down and you say, God, this is what I had to do. I confess that I was a sinner. I confess my sins to him. And I said, Father, whatever it is, I need it here this morning. I need this. And he come into my heart, my life, and he forgave me for my sins, and he cleansed me. And so we find that's what John the Baptist said. And we know that here, that he was the one that baptized the Lord. But he said, I had need to be baptized of thee. But we find that here, John the Baptist, he later on lost his life and was beheaded. But yet he stood and he said, I will proclaim the Lord. And then we look at Paul, and we find that next we'll call him to the witness stand. And we want to ask him, what do you think of Christ? Now, I tell you, if you begin to ask him, I'm sure that he's going to tell you a mouthful this morning. I tell you, he was one of the greatest men that ever lived. He was one that he suffered many things for the Lord's sake, and he done a lot of things. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned and left for dead, and a lot of things happened in his ministry and in his life, but yet he said he is still the Lord. Let's look and see what he said over in Acts as we begin to look in chapter 9 and verse 20, and let's look at what his testimony would be to this courtroom here this morning as you to the jurors. And he said, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that what? That he is the Son of God. We find that he was struck down with blindness on his road to Damascus. We find that he was going to put prisoners, Christians, in jail. Maybe many of them he had even had sent to death. And I tell you, he crucified the Christians. He done a lot of things, but the Lord met him on the road to Damascus. Said, Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecutest thou me? And we find that here that he was led away, and how that a man called Ananias would come to speak to him. And then as he spoke to him, he said the scales fell off and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then it said he was eaten and he was filled. His strength began to come back to him. And what did he do? And straightway he began to preach that he is the Son of God. We find that here this was a very great man. A lot of people was afraid of him. But yet he stood and he still proclaimed that he is the Son of God. And I tell you, that's what I proclaim here this morning, that he is the darling Son of God. People might say there is no God, but I would beg to differ with them this morning. How do I know that there is a God? Because he lives within my heart. He lives right here. He made a change in my life. He made a change in the way that I live. And I tell you, nothing else could have took that old hard sin heart away from me except the love and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's still the blood today. It's the blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that will keep you safe. And one day it's going to take us home to be with him to live forevermore. You know, my life on earth is just about over with. I'm 60 years old, and it might not be long before the Lord tarries and comes and takes me home. But I want to be able to stand like the Apostle Paul. And my testimony is that I fought a good fight and I've kept the faith. And I tell you, that's what I want to say about me this morning when I pass on, is that I'm not a quitter. I'm not one that says, well, Lord, I'm just so discouraged, I'm just going to quit. God has great things in store for this church. And there's people here that can do great things through God if they'll allow them. As I've told you before, that I've stood behind many times and I preached many times, and I've been scared to death. and I've been shaking and I've got sick and the room began to spin and things like that. But I tell you, when God wants to use you, he'll use you if you'll say, just like what I had to say, Lord, here am I, send me. And so as we look, one of the last testimonies that we want to look at here this morning is God himself. And as we look over in Mark chapter 1, and as we look in verse 11, what God think about his darling son. As we look here in Mark chapter 1 and verse 11, and this will be the last one that we want to look at here this morning. As we find here in Mark chapter 1 and verse 11, and there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. I tell you, no greater statement is that for a father to be able to speak of that about his son. He says, you're my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. And so this was a statement from God. And I tell you here this morning, as we look at this, and as we look at the ones that we've called and asked of their testimonies, you're the juror here this morning. And I want to ask you a question before Brother Tom comes and we have a verse of invitation. I want to ask you, what think ye of Christ? If you're here this morning and you're lost, you've never been saved, what do you really think about him? You can walk out this door and you say, I really don't care. I don't really care what I think about him. He's nothing to me. But he's everything to me. Because, you see, he stood and he suffered. His back was literally ripped to the organs when he was scourged. He thirsted. His muscles began to cramp. His organs began to shut down. We give people morphine for pain. He had nothing for that pain. Why? Why would he suffer? Because he loved me enough to go through that. But if you're here this morning and you're lost, what do you think? Will you find him guilty? Or will you come and say, Father, I know that you died, and I want to accept you as my personal Savior here this morning. Or will you just turn and walk out that door? But there's going to come a time that you're going to have to face him face to face. And I tell you, I hope and pray that here this morning will be the day that you can come and cleanse your heart from all these sins. Maybe you're here this morning and you just got trouble and trials in your life. You've been saved. What do you think of him? I know that sometimes that I have to go through the fire. I have to go through trials and I have to go through troubles. But when I go through those troubles, when I go through that fire, I'm not alone. Because why? Because God's holding my hand. He's going through that fire, the fiery furnace. Three men was cast in, but did I not see the fourth one looking like the Son of God? They walked through. He was with them in that fire, and he'll be with you. But it's up to us this morning. What will you do? Will you find him guilty here this morning? I ask you before we pray, what do you think of Christ? I tell you what I think. I know that he is my Lord and Savior, and he's my master, and I love him. You know, I worked over last month, been about 60 hours a week. I've been tired. I've been weary. I took off Friday so that I could just even rest. I tried to get Daniel to get anybody to preach. You know, I was just tired, and I didn't know if I could do it or not. But I'm glad that God gave me that opportunity to do that. But I tell you, it's not about how tired that I am or how wore out that you are. What can I do for the man that laid his life down for me? The least that I can do is stand up when I have an opportunity and proclaim that he is the darling Son of God. This morning, what will you do with this man called Jesus? Father, as we come to the throne of God, we thank you for this privilege that you've given us here this morning. Lord, I know that maybe that the message has been maybe a little scattered or whatever. But Father, I know that there's people here that God is speaking to their hearts right now. There's people here that says that they've just been too mean and done so many things in their life. But Father, once again, we're reminded of the centurion soldier that said, truly, he is the Son of God. You'll forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The devil will try to defeat them here this morning. And Lord, tell them there's no need to come. They have a life to live, and they don't need to be a Christian. They won't be able to enjoy their life. But the greatest life that I ever lived was the one that when I became a Christian, and I tell you, Lord, I'm just thankful for you dying on the old rugged cross. Lord, if there's one here that has a need in their heart and their life, Lord, I pray that you'll take care of that. Lord, if there's one here that's just turned their back upon you and they're cold and indifferent, Lord, that this will be the day that they'll step out and say, here am I, Lord, I'm willing to come. Father, we thank you for this time of invitation. I thank you for Brother Tom and what he means to this church and his ministry. Lord, we thank you for everyone that's here this morning that's a leader in this church. I pray that you'll bless them. We'll just be careful to give you the glory and honor for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand as we sing our invitation hymn.